to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. It is Tuesday of Holy Week. We're getting ready for Good Friday. It wasn't Good Friday when it happened. It was terrible Friday, horrible Friday, the very worst Friday you could ever imagine for those who follow Jesus. But everything changed on Sunday, on the first day of the week, because Jesus rose from the dead. And because he rose from the dead, that terrible, horrible Friday became Good Friday, the day that he died on the cross for you and for me. And so we are gearing up, churches are gearing up for a big, big weekend because many, many people will come on Easter. They don't come, so many of them don't come any other time, but they come on Easter. And some pastors have been known to kind of shame those folks, but I don't want to shame them. I want to welcome them, and I want them to come back, and I want them to hear the gospel. It is one of those things that can grip your heart from time to time, and it needs to do it more for us. I woke up last week, and for some reason, I had watched something with Robin Williams, and they were talking about the movie Mrs. Doubtfire, and one of the kids that played in the cast, that played one of the children of Sally Field and Robin Williams, he said, you know, when we were filming that, he said, Robin is just this guy that's just so up, so fun, so funny, and just all over the place, Mr. Energy. And he said, I went to his trailer when we had a break, and he said, he's just so down, his head is in his hands, he's just depressed. And this kid said, you know, a lot of that had to do with drug use, the aftermath of years of drug use. But he was just so depressed. And if you know anything about Robin Williams, he ended up killing himself. The depression just took over, and he felt like it would be better. He was diagnosed with Parkinson's, I believe. Anyway, he took his own life. And, you know, those who take their own lives, they say, well, I just want to escape. I feel like I'm in hell, so I want to escape. But here's the reality, and I woke up with this, and it was just heavy on my heart last week. Anybody who leaves this earth without a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, they don't escape hell. They enter hell. No matter how bad it might be in a person's life, no matter how horrific it might be in a person's life, in this life, it's nothing compared to the afterlife without the Lord Jesus. And the Lord tells us about that. He talks about this place called hell, this terrible, horrible place called hell, and in various places in the Gospels. But this is Mark chapter 9. He says, if your hand causes you to stumble, he's speaking in hyperbole, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than having your two hands to go into hell, into the unquenchable fire, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. If your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than having your two feet to be cast into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. If your eye causes you to stumble, throw it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And Jesus said in the Gospel of Luke, he said, don't fear him who can destroy the body. Fear him who can destroy both the body and the soul in hell. Hey, when's the last time you heard a sermon that dealt with hell, dealt with the reality of hell? One of the first sermons that I ever preached when God called me into the ministry and God called me to preach, it was probably in my first three or four sermons. It was a sermon on hell. I called it A Place Called Hell. And I remember my pastor, he wasn't too jazzed about that. He's like, why do you want to preach on that? And I said, well, it's just kind of the Lord's put it on my heart to preach on that. And he didn't understand that at all. You know, preach on God's grace, preach on God's love, preach on heaven, but don't preach on hell. You know, people don't like to hear about hell, but it's not what they want to hear. It's what they need to hear. You know, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, in the book of Matthew, some sobering words in Matthew chapter 7 that we would do well to hear and to heed. Matthew 7:13, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Now, when they do these surveys, the Pew Research and Barna and other people like that, they do these surveys of America, and George Barna is a very trustworthy person, and his research is very sound. What you find is that the majority of Americans, I think it's 3/4 of Americans, believe in heaven, and a 60-something percent believe in hell. But of those 60-something percent that believe in hell, not all that many people believe they're going to hell. And they don't necessarily believe the biblical record about hell. What does the Bible say about this terrible, horrible place? Well, everybody has the ideal, hell's a place of fire, hell's an awful place. But we have added our own conjecture into there, and you know what we want it to be. We kind of tried to spruce it up some, and we don't like the idea of an eternal hell, and so we want to kind of lessen the blow of hell. But here's the thing: when Jesus talked about hell, and he talked about it 13 times in the New Testament, he uses the word Gehenna. Gehenna is the city dump for Israel. It was the place where the fire was never quenched, just like it says in Mark, the place where the fire is never quenched, nor does the worm die. And so it's a place of eternal punishment and eternal torment. It says of the false Christ, the Antichrist, and the false prophet, that they are taken at the Battle of Armageddon and cast alive into the lake of fire, where they're tormented day and night forever and ever. It's a terrible, horrible place. Now, the interesting thing about Gehenna. So Gehenna is Gehinnom, the Valley of Hinnom, the southwest part of Jerusalem, or to the southwest of Jerusalem, I should say. That was the place where King Ahaz was king in Israel, or in Judah, from 732 to 715 BC. And he began to sacrifice his children. He set up the god, the false god, the detestable god of the Ammonites, Molech. And one of the ways you worship Molech was through child sacrifice. And so the blood of the children was shed there at Gehinnom, the Valley of Hinnom. And his successor, Manasseh came some years after, about 18 years after he became king, and he was king for the longest time, 697 BC to 642 BC. He was so evil and so wicked. He sacrificed his children in the fire, and he was the one, tradition tells us, who had Isaiah the prophet put into a hollow log and cut in half with a saw. He did so much evil that after him came good King Josiah, who brought about tremendous reforms. He had such a heart for God, but the Lord wasn't going to turn the fortunes around for his people. He said, you are going to be destroyed because of the sins of Manasseh, because he shed so much innocent blood. and the die was cast, so to speak, because of that sin. I was reading about him just today in my quiet time, and the Lord said the sins of Manasseh, he wouldn't forgive the sins on the land. Now, he would forgive the sins in Manasseh as an individual, but he wouldn't forgive the sins of the land. And the Lord did destroy Judah. 605 BC, Nebuchadnezzar came in, king of Babylon came in and subjugated them, took captives, came back in 597 BC when there was a little bit of an uprising and slapped them around a little bit, let them know, hey, you're under my thumb, took back more captives. And then when they rebelled again in 586 BC, he wiped them out. Now you can say, well, that was from Nebuchadnezzar. That wasn't from God. God used Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon as his means of judgment. So all that to say is hell in the Bible is the city dump. It's pictured as the place where the fire is never quenched and the worm never dies. Can you imagine, when you put your mind around that, can you imagine a place, as Jesus called it, or the Revelation calls it, the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if any man's name was not found written in the book of life, he was cast into the lake of fire, Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. And so the Bible describes it as a horrible place. You know, this guy, the rich man in Luke 16, theologians call him Dives, because in Latin, Dives means rich man. And so the rich man goes to Hades, which is another place, another name is similar to hell. And Lazarus, the poor man that was laid at his gate, he goes to paradise. He goes to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man says in his discussion with Father Abraham, he says, I am in agony in this flame. It's a horrible place beyond anything our mind can comprehend. And listen, the Bible says, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, that the Lord is not slow about his promises, some men count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. And there's one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who desires all men to be saved. 1 Timothy chapter 2, desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, the scripture makes it clear, for God so loved the world. And the world doesn't mean the world of the elect. The world means the world. God so loved people. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world should be saved through him. Hey, when you listen to the news, and the news at the top of the hour, American Family Radio, American Family Association does a great job keeping us informed with what is going on. You know, you think about the bridge situation in Baltimore. That's horrific. I watched that this morning, and it looks deliberate. The big cargo vessel just backs into this support structure, and the whole bridge comes down, and people were working on the bridge and fell into the water. Who knows if they're alive or dead? And you know, the guys that went to work on the bridge yesterday, or this, you know, late last night, they had no idea this is it. I mean, my life is over after this. I tell people this all the time. Hey, you don't have the promise of tomorrow. All you have is right now. Tomorrow may never come. Yesterday's gone, and tomorrow may never come. And all you have is today. And it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this comes the judgment. After this, everything is set. And your decision now for Christ is what makes all the difference in the world. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about the uncomfortable subject of hell. It's something we need to know about so that we can have it on our hearts, so we can pray for people that don't know Jesus, because they really are one heartbeat from hell. We'll be right back. I'd like to take a minute and have a heart-to-heart with you. If you're able, place your hand over your heart. Can you feel it? My strong heartbeat reminds me that I'm alive. See, it's the same for an unborn baby. Their heart begins to form at conception, and at just 3 weeks is already beating. At 5 weeks, a baby's heartbeat can be heard on ultrasound. That's where preborn steps in, rescuing 200 babies every day from abortion simply by providing a mother with a free ultrasound and allowing her to hear her child's heartbeat and see their perfectly formed body in the womb. By 6 weeks, eyes are forming. By 10 weeks, a baby is able to suck his or her thumb. Preborn needs our help to save these precious souls. For just $28, you could be the difference between the life or death of a baby. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com. So we don't hear a lot about it, and we have these thoughts about it. Well, you know, that's always for the other guy. That's for the other guy. That's not for a good person like me. Here I am coming to church, and hell is for Adolf Hitler. Hell is for Mussolini. Hell is for Charles Manson. Hell is for Jeffrey Dahmer, the serial killer, although Jeffrey Dahmer claims to have trusted Christ as Savior and Lord before he died. So that's the amazing thing about the gospel. A guy like Jeffrey Dahmer could go to heaven if he truly repented and believed, because the vilest offender, as the song says, the vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. There is no sin that is greater, that has greater power than the blood of God's own Son. That blood is able to wash white as snow. Well, I remember doing a funeral some years ago for a guy I went to high school with. He was a year ahead of me. We played a lot of basketball against one another. He went to a rival school. I mean, we were in high school at the same time. And he passed away from a heart attack. And I remember going to see this guy one day. I drove out to where he lived, and we got together for lunch, and I was talking to him about Jesus. Now, we were always kind of rivals. He was better than I was at basketball, and we weren't like buddies, but we knew each other. We were cordial with each other. And then, you know, when we got older, then the rivalry was over. But I started talking to him about his soul and just encouraged him to put his faith and trust in Jesus. And he was seriously considering that, but he never did. As far as with me, he didn't pray to receive Christ with me. Well, his mother, godly, wonderful person, well, she asked me to do his funeral. And so I got to do his funeral. Many people were there. He was very well liked. And I just shared at his funeral. I said, listen, I got to share the gospel with Ron. And I said, he heard it. I think he understood it. He was contemplating it. But he didn't pray to receive Christ with me. And I said, I don't know if he did or if he didn't, but I know this, if he did, he's in heaven today. And I shared this little poem with the crowd that day. I think this poem is so appropriate for funerals. You know, we get the idea that everybody goes to heaven. No, they don't. Matthew 7. Most people are on the broad road that leads to destruction. The narrow road, Jesus said, few there be that find it. And so the majority in this world are not trusting Jesus. Everybody's got a problem, and it's the same problem, and it's a terminal disease. It's called sin, and sin will kill. The wages of sin is death, separation from God forever and ever and ever. So I shared this poem. And people were really listening. The poem is entitled 5 Minutes After I Die. And it goes like this. Loved ones will weep o'er my silent face. Dear ones will clasp me in sad embrace. Shadows and darkness will fill the place. 5 minutes after I die. But faces that sorrow I will not see. Voices that murmur they will not reach me. But where, oh where will my spirit be? 5 minutes after I die, not to repair the good I lack. Fixed to the goal of my chosen track. No room to repent, no turning back. 5 minutes after I die. Mated forever with my chosen throng. Long is eternity. Oh, so long. Then woe is me if my soul be wrong. 5 minutes after I die. It's such a powerful poem. Now, I think at funerals, you can be very direct with people. Because as people have asked me, you know, in the past, hey, Pastor, would you rather do a wedding or a funeral? Well, some guys would much prefer a wedding because it's a joyous celebration. But I said, no, I'd prefer a funeral. You know, a wedding is a ceremony. And a funeral is an opportunity to preach to people. It's an opportunity to talk to people about, hey, you know what? Your friend, your family member, your loved one, he, she died. And that's just, you know, one of those things that you can't get around. Everybody dies. And 100 years from now, everybody in this room will be dead. And the big question is, where will you be? And I can't preach you into heaven. Nobody can preach you into heaven. That is a personal decision. As Pilate said, what then shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? Will you receive him or will you reject him? Will you crown him as king? Not tip your hat to him. We have a lot of people that tip their hat to Jesus. Oh, Jesus, like they sing that Doobie Brothers song. Well, Jesus is just all right with me. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Being just all right with you is not an option on the table. You either bow your knee to him in repentance and faith, or you don't receive him at all. You know, the rich young ruler came to Jesus and is the only one that Jesus ever said, hey, this guy said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, well, you know the commandments. Yeah, I've kept the commandments from my youth. He said, well, this one thing you lack, go and sell all that you have, give it to the poor and come follow me and you'll have treasure in heaven. And the man didn't want to do that. He said he kept all the commandments except he missed the first one. You shall have no other gods before me. And his God was money. He was rich and he had much. And Jesus told him, give that away because that's what's keeping you. Your love for money, your God is money. And you can't have any kind of false God when you come before the Lord. You got to confess that and receive him as Savior and Lord. That man went away sad. And today he's not rich. He's not young. He's not a ruler. And as far as we know, he died without Christ and he is in hell today. And it's a terrible, awful, horrible place. Listen, 5 minutes after I die, you know, it is appointed unto man, Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Once you die, it is set, it is done. Now, our country, you've heard the expression, going to hell in a handbasket. I think that can be said about America. And we are so narcissistic in America. It's interesting, 2 Timothy 3:1, but realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come, for men will be, the very first sin, lovers of self, and then comes lovers of money. We have such a narcissistic society. It's all about me, lovers of self. And we don't love God, we love self. And our country is falling apart at the seams. As you heard at the top of the hour, what's going on in the California prison system? Well, let's let biological men who identify as women, which is ridiculous, let's let them in the female prisons so that they can be in there and rape these girls. It's just mind-blowing how insane this is. You know, every day when you see the news, it's Romans 1:22, professing to be wise, they became fools. The word for fools is moros, where we get our word moron. We have a bunch of morons, and we think we're so smart, we're so liberated. We are so upside down. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. That's what we're doing in America. And the phrase going to hell in a handbasket really fits. Now, I was looking up the etymology of that. Where did that come from? And in 1618, there was an English preacher named Thomas Adams, and he talked in his sermon about going to hell in a wheelbarrow. And they even have in the stained glass in a church in England, the Fairford Church in Gloucestershire, England, has a picture of a demon hauling a person in a wheelbarrow to hell. And so they said, well, that was the phrase, hell in a wheelbarrow, but that didn't have alliteration. So they said it probably got altered to hell in a handbasket. I think it conveys exactly what we have today, because a handbasket, is kind of a sweet thing. That's what Little Red Riding Hood had, her handbasket where you can put a picnic lunch in there. I think of Dorothy Gale in The Wizard of Oz. She had her little handbasket where Toto could be in there. It just seems to be a sweet and innocuous thing. And we're going to hell in a handbasket. We're going to hell thinking that we're good. That everything is fine. I shared yesterday, Palm Sunday, why did the people reject Jesus as their Messiah? Because they didn't think they needed to be saved spiritually. They thought they were good. Hey, we're sons of Abraham. We're children of Abraham. John the Baptist said, don't think that you can say that we are children of Abraham, so everything is hunky-dory between us and God. We're God's chosen people. He said, God is able from these stones to raise up offspring to Abraham. Your pedigree, the church you go to, your baptism certificate, none of that means anything. The big question is, have you been saved? Have you been born again? Have you seen that you're a sinner in need of a Savior? You're a sinner and you're lost. You're a helpless, hopeless sinner. You're on the highway to hell, and that Jesus is the only one who can save you. Have you seen that? And have you put your faith and trust in Jesus? That's exactly how I got saved. The Lord showed me that if I died, I would go to hell. And I didn't want to go to hell. I didn't know all the ins and outs about hell. I didn't know about hell like I know about it now from Scripture. I didn't read the Bible, but I knew that hell was a terrible, horrible place. I knew it was separation from God, and I knew I wanted to be with God. And when he showed me, Jeff, you are a sinner. If you died, you're trusting in your good works, which aren't even very good. And if you died, you're going to go to hell. And that's when I got down on my knees and I just prayed a simple prayer that was real from my heart. I meant it. And I said, Jesus, save me. And he did. And how do I know that he did? Because my life changed drastically. And it's still changing to this day. Listen, we have some myths about hell. Some people think that hell is the devil's headquarters. It is not. The devil will suffer in hell. He's going to be tormented day and night forever and ever and ever, just as it says about the Antichrist and the false prophet. Some people say, well, hell is just the place for the worst of evildoers, for the Hitlers and the Mussolinis and people like that. It's for anybody who rejects Christ or ignores Christ. We all have a terminal disease called sin, and sin kills, and the wages of sin is death, and that's just not physical death. That's spiritual death. That's death forever. So hell is a place. It's created for the devil and his angels. Jesus said that in Matthew chapter 25. He didn't create it for people, but people do go there. And the Lord doesn't want anyone to go there, but people do go there, and the people that go there are those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ and reject his salvation. Now, some say, well, I don't think a loving God would send people to hell. Well, technically, God doesn't send you to hell, if you want to look at it that way. You send yourself there because you reject God's sacrifice. You have a terminal disease, and the only medicine, if you want to look at it in those terms, the only medicine for your terminal disease is Jesus. And if you reject Jesus, then all that's left to you is death. And so God loves you so much that he's provided a way of escape. He has the ark of safety for you, so you don't have to be swept away in the floodwaters of judgment. But if you reject that, then the Lord says to you at the great white throne judgment, Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, not my will, but yours be done. Now, it doesn't say that in Revelation 20, but that's basically what the Lord will say. Hey, I didn't want this for you. I didn't desire for anybody to perish. I died for everybody. He himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. 1 John chapter 2. And so, he, books are opened at the great white throne judgment and the book of life. And another book was opened, which was the book of life. And if any man's name was not found written in the book of life, he is thrown into the lake of fire. Well, everybody at the great white throne judgment is thrown into the lake of fire. None have his or her name written in the Lamb's book of life. And so why would the Lord open that book? I believe it's to show every single person that your name could have been there, that Jesus Christ died for you, but you said no to him, and you went your own way, and you said, God, not your will, but mine be done. And the Lord will say to you at the great white throne, well, not my will, but yours be done. You didn't want me? All right. Well, you have what you chose, and it is horrible and awful. Well, that's a myth. God would not send people to hell. Here's another myth. Hell is just a scare tactic to enforce a particular brand or allegiance or behavior. Well, no, hell is a real place. And the Lord Jesus talked about it. He talked about hell a lot. And you and I need to be sensitive to the fact that hell is a real place. And when we have friends, neighbors, loved ones, workmates, classmates, teammates, neighbors, whoever, that don't know Jesus, they are truly one heartbeat from hell, and it ought to motivate us to tell everyone, to shout it from the housetops, and to pray and to tell people about Jesus, who is mighty to save. Well, we're up against a break. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm Pastor Jeff Shreve. When we come back from the break, we will be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Love to talk to you. And if you have a question, if you have a comment, love to try and answer that question. I don't know the answer to everything, but I'll try and give you a solid biblical answer and hopefully be helpful to you. And we are talking about an inconvenient truth, the quote from Al Gore, the subject of hell. So give me a call and let's talk.
The Word of God tells us many times in one form or another, fear not. Many people are very fearful about some of the many perils and dangerous happenings that are going on in the world. Psalm 91 verses 1 and 2 tell us, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him I will trust. I'm Joseph Parker, and we here at the American Family Association would like to remind you, fear not, put your trust in the Lord. We'd like to both encourage and challenge you to aggressively put your faith to work. And one way to do that is to pray Psalm 91 daily for yourself and your family, and keep your trust in him. If you'd like to get a copy of the Psalm 91 prayer for yourself, email us here at psalm91@afa.net. Again, that's psalm91@afa.net.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff here. I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. You can listen to From His Heart every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. Well, we are having a little bit of trouble with the software that controls the phone calls, and but we're working on that. Hopefully, we get that going very quickly. The number to call is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And I'd love to talk to you. We're talking about a subject that is not popular, but it's very important. It's the subject of hell. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, one of the first sermons that I preached when God called me into the ministry was a sermon on hell, a place called hell. And my pastor was very surprised. Why are you doing that? Why do you want to preach on hell? And I said, well, the Lord just laid that on my heart. And I do think that that is a subject that we need to be talking about. And so people don't like to hear about it, but they need to hear about it. And so my wife just texted me about a question. She said, well, why don't you mention how to talk to people about that, how to talk to people about the subject of hell. And, when I witness to somebody, you have to establish. I used to use the four spiritual laws. Law number one, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Law number two, man is sinful and can't experience God's love and plan for his life. Law number three, Jesus died to bridge the gap between us and God and to pay the price for our sin. And law number four, we must each personally receive Christ in order to experience his love and plan for our life. Well, those things are all true, but I think it's better to start with people at the point of their sin. I think the way of the Master, Ray Comfort, is a better way to witness. You witness with the law. And because most people think that they are good people. Rarely do you find a person, when you ask them the question, hey, if you were to die today and stand before God and he were to say to you, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say? The first question, do you know for certain that if you were to die, you'd go to heaven? Oh, yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I'd go to heaven. Well, what would you say to God if he were to ask you why he should let you in heaven? And they're like, well, because I'm a good person. And so it's like, okay, well, let's talk about that. Because Jesus said to the rich young ruler, when he said, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said, why do you call me good? There is none good but God alone. Do you recognize, do you understand, this was what he was saying, do you understand that I am God? I don't know if the rich young ruler got that, but he tried to call himself good, this rich young ruler. Well, you're not good. None of us are good. All our righteous deeds, the Bible says, are filthy rags. And so the way of the Master, Ray Comfort, is you just start talking and say, okay, well, let's go through the Ten Commandments. How are you doing with this? You shall not lie. You shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, if you look on a woman to lust for her, you've committed adultery already within your heart. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Don't take the Lord's name in vain, the name of the Lord in vain, for God will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. You shall not covet. That's the evil desire for these things. You shall not steal. All these things, he just goes down the line. And the people see, well, yeah, I'm not doing very well. Oh, how are you going to get to heaven by your good works? You have to be perfect. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Well, that leaves you out. That leaves me out. That leaves all of us out because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we can't be perfect and we're not perfect. So we are in trouble and we are sinners in the hands of an angry God. And it is a terrifying thing, the Bible says, to fall into the hands of an angry God. For our God is a consuming fire, and we do need to fear him. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. Not to be afraid of God, but to have this fear. Our God is a great king. And any electrician will tell you, if you don't have a healthy fear of electricity, you're going to get fried. Because you have to understand you're dealing with something that is so powerful. It can kill you in a minute if you all of a sudden just take it for granted and think it's no big deal. Our God is a bigger deal than our minds can comprehend. And we need to fear him. And we need to recognize we're sinners in need of a Savior. And if we don't come to Jesus with brokenness, repentance, with faith, then we're not going to be saved, and we are going to experience the terrible, horrible, awful place called hell. Well, we got the software fixed, so we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840, and we have Bobby on the line from Texas. Bobby, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor Jeff. But I just wanted to beg to differ with you a little bit on your comment of you, brother, preach funerals because you have an opportunity to share. Well, I would say you have a bigger opportunity to share at a wedding the love of God, the vow to God, and what love looks like and what love doesn't look like in order to bring people closer to God so they can make the decision so you don't have to preach it in their funerals. Does that make sense, sir?
Well, you are gonna have their funeral is gonna come, and so to each his own. Well, I think that it's you can talk about death at a funeral a lot easier than you can talk about that at a wedding, and so some people prefer weddings, and so that might be you. I prefer a funeral where you can really just talk turkey with somebody and get very very. Candid with what happens after you die. I've shared that poem 5 minutes after I die at a number of funerals, so I've never shared that at a wedding. But I get your point, and with weddings, people are really focused on certain things at weddings. It's hard for the bride and groom. Their minds are very clouded with all that's going on, and their families are too, and so that's personal preference for me, Bobby. So, but I appreciate you calling in. God bless you, my brother. You and I might differ on that. All right, we have Paige on the line from Texas. Paige, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, Pastor Jeff.
Hi.
So I immediately thought of a family member listening to your message this morning, and she's one that does believe that she's a good person compared to the standards of the world, and that a loving God would not send her to hell. And so I'm going to send her your podcast when it gets posted later today, but I just wanted to pray that she would receive this message as she hears it.
Yeah. We can definitely do that, Paige. So here's the thing that people don't understand when they start thinking, well, I'm a pretty good person. Surely God wouldn't send me to hell. Adrian Rogers made this statement. I've never forgotten it. He said, a person who believes like that is woefully ignorant of two things. Number one, they don't know how sinful they are. And number two, they don't know how holy God is. And when you understand that God is holy, 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 that he does not tolerate one half of one sin in his presence, his eyes are too pure to look upon sin. And you look at your own life. It's Isaiah 6 where Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, and then he saw himself and he cried out, woe is me, for I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. When you see the Lord in his holiness, then you see how sinful you are, and you recognize, I am in terrible trouble. Oh God, have mercy on me. And so, what is your friend's name, Paige?
It is my grandmother.
Oh, your
Patricia.
Grandmother. Okay, well, let's pray for her right now. Her Patricia, you said?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Father in heaven, we thank you that you're the God who answers prayer. We thank you that you're the God who loves us and gave your son for the whole world, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And so we pray for Patricia, that you would open her eyes to the truth, that you would help her to see you as the thrice holy God of the universe and see herself as a sinner before you, and that she would cry out with Isaiah, woe is me. Lord, I need you. I need your grace. Thank you for the cross, and I commit my life to following you, and I ask you to forgive me, Jesus, and I turn to you with all my heart. Lord, that would be her prayer, that would happen in her life. And Father, I thank you for her granddaughter, Paige, who is so concerned about her grandmother. And so we thank you, Lord, that you're not willing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. And we pray that for her in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you, Paige. God bless you. All right. We have our friend Lee on the line from Virginia. Lee, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, Pastor Jeff, I'm with you. The Bible says it's the fear of God that's the beginning of wisdom. I never go to a wedding that I think about dying, but every time I go to a funeral, I think one day that's going to be me. And it always inspires me to try to do a little better or be a little better or walk a little closer to God. So it's the fear of death. And you know, I think about America. Jonathan Edwards, they said during one of the Great Awakenings, he had a sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. He would just read that sermon from a paper, and people would be under such conviction that they would just fall out into aisles. They wouldn't even wait for the invitation. And today, we've got groups like the Jehovah's Witnesses and all that are telling people, well, if you do go to hell, it only lasts for a minute. Like you said, the false prophet and them are cast into hell, and 1,000 years later, Satan is cast in, and they're still there burning. So if you can burn 1,000 years, you can burn 1,000,000 years.
Right.
So God bless you.
Hey, I appreciate it, Lee. Always a pleasure to get to talk to you. I appreciate your comments. We have Michael on the line from Alabama. Michael, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, Pastor Jeff. Yeah, I just say ditto to that last caller. I'm 54 years old, and I remember as a youth, from time to time, our pastor would have what's called a fire and brimstone message, and by the end of the service, you had people up front on their knees, weeping and repenting. You just don't see that, not in Baptist churches anymore. And I think seminaries, modern seminaries, is a big blame for that, because they tell them, you know, not to make people feel bad. And if you don't have regret in your life, you're not going to repent. And that's what's needed to get things cleared up and draw closer to God.
Amen. That's a good word for sure. Well, I think that, Michael, we've gotten away, you know, it's just like Joel Osteen says, we never use the word sin. We don't talk about sin. Well, if you don't talk about sin, then there's no need for repentance. And if there's no need for repentance, nobody's getting saved, because Jesus said in Luke 13:3 and Luke 13:5, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. What did John the Baptist preach? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What did Jesus preach? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What did Paul preach? He was solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we've got just at home with sin, and we don't see that God hates sin and he won't have fellowship with sin, and we need to deal with sin in our lives and get it out of the shadows and under the blood. Even as a Christian, you can't make friends with sin. Sin is an enemy that will tear you apart. When the Bible says, when lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. And people who are holding on to sin can't be saved, because we have to come repenting of sin, turning from sin, like the prodigal leaving the pigsty and coming to the Lord. So God bless you, brother. We want to hopefully see churches get back to preaching the truth and letting people know they are in serious danger. And they need to trust Christ while there's an opportunity to do it. Well, we have Larry on the line from Oklahoma. Larry, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, thank you, Pastor. I appreciate it. Very quickly, that word fear, whenever you hear that, fear of the Lord, substitute respect, because that is the actual meaning of what's being said there. It's not fear of the Lord as in I'm scared. It's fear of the Lord because I respect who and what he is and who and what he can do for me.
Amen. I appreciate that, Larry. God bless you. We have time for one more caller, Jerry from Mississippi. Jerry, we just got about a minute.
Yes, sir. I just say that I appreciate you saying what you said. And I mean, it really blessed me, because I agree with you 100%.
Well, thank you, brother. I appreciate that. Thanks for calling in, and thanks for that encouragement. Lynn and Carmise, I'm sorry we didn't get to you, but thank you for calling in. Thank you for listening to the program. Hey, this might be a program to share with a friend, a neighbor, a loved one, and say, this is a subject you don't hear talked about a lot, but it's an important subject, the subject of hell. Jesus talked more about hell than he did heaven. Why? Because he knows people are going there, and he does not want them to go. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and I'll be back with you again tomorrow, along with my wife, from the studios in Tupelo, Mississippi. We're looking forward to it. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.